Hello.
What's up, brother?
What's up, man?
Nothing, man. How are you?
I'm all right.
Word. How's your week been?
It's okay. It's not, not like a super fantastic week, but it's been okay.
Well, I mean, at least it's okay. Okay is better than, I guess, whatever the opposite of okay is.
I'm pretty much a neutral person most of the time, I guess.
Yeah? What's the most excited you've ever been, man?
Oh, gosh. I don't know if I have an answer for that, really.
Really, man? I mean, you've been to multiple Comic Cons. You've met multiple famous people.
It's true. Also true.
You're also just like, celebrity. Nice to meet you. Fist bump. Maybe an autograph. Catch you later.
I mean, that's kind of, I mean, I was pretty excited to meet Willa from Green Arrow, but it's just because, not the right reasons, probably.
Big Steve. Who did I have a crush on, man, back in the day? Psylocke? Because of that outfit, man. Storm with the mohawk, I always thought was the super hottie.
Oh, man. The punk rock version of her is awesome.
So awesome, man.
Yeah.
I still love everything John Byrne does because of his run with Claremont in the late 70s, throughout the 80s, all the way up to the 90s, man. That's good stuff, because when it got to the 90s, it was like...
I mean, there was some time in there that was pretty questionable, I guess.
The cartoon was great. That was one saving grace of the 90s. Hey, Steve, if you ever go back to the Thundercats, to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles of the world, to the X-Men, to the all the shows, and just realize, like, you watch it now when you're old, and you just, like, realize those were just made to sell you toys?
I mean, aren't all cartoons really...
Yes, it's true.
It doesn't change that we're still awesome. G.I. Joe's my favorite, and season one was the only one that had like real heart to it. Not that the other seasons were like horrible, but season one, it wasn't quite as like flat apparent that was happening. When you got to season two, and all the colors sort of changed because I think the Fun School took over. And the action figures sort of changed too, and you'd have like, a new guy this episode, Scoop. And he was like a camera guy that was a double agent, and the story was okay, but then like 2 weeks later, there was Scoop on the toy shelf.
Man, G.I. Joe nicknames were the best.
Heck yeah, man.
Oh, wow. You just brought me back. The only cow, man. I can't even remember, like, Brick House, Firefly. Oh, my God. The only one who, the only one with like a real name was the Vartan.
Zartan, because his name was Zartan, which is still a weird name.
Yeah, it is still a weird name. But that actually was like the only real name ever. Cobra Commander.
Right. I guess Tomax and Zimont, the Cobra twins. Now, in theory, those are their real names. So, I mean, there's those two and the Dr. Mindbender. But Mindbender, I mean, is that really his last name? I mean, if it is, who would ever trust that guy? PhD or not, who would trust him?
I now pronounce you Mr. and Mrs. Mindbender. What?
I mean, if you're putting on a magic show, that makes perfect sense.
Red flags everywhere.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, man. Imagine, like, seeing that on Tinder. You're like, Mindbender? Whoa, swiping left, bro. Left.
Mustache alone gives you a reason for that, but yes.
It's all right. But if you saw like Duke on a social network dating app, you'd be like, swipe right.
I mean, most of Joe's have the better side of that.
Yeah.
But that is true.
Yeah. Your personal life's probably a lot better if you're a good guy.
I mean, in the G.I. Joe world, yes. At least you have a normal name most of the time.
Right. Well, you know, if you're Destro, hot metal got spilled over your head and you survived, so you're probably not dating a lot.
I mean, he was shiny though, and it was all like buffed out. Hey. It wasn't like a ragged mess.
Very good. You find a lady who likes, I guess, precious metals more than she likes human contact, and you know that's not that illogical. Okay, that actually could happen. You know, you've got yourself a match made in heaven, brother.
I mean, people like shiny things, so, you know.
Hey, man, diamonds are forever. That's what they say, right? Yes, indeed.
Right?
Destro's not made of diamonds, though. He's made of steel.
No, I mean, but still, same concept.
Yeah. Do you remember the early action figures, the points of articulation on those bad boys? I thought those were the cream of the crop when they came out, man. The elbows bent? I thought the elbows bending was, like, the end-all be-all.
Oh, yeah. Now, as far as, like, a forefront action figure, like, technology, G.I. Joe had it. Once they got past the straight arms with the twist in the middle, the bend in the middle, oh, yeah. Like, they were leagues above everything else. I mean, we had, like, what else do we have? We had Star Wars, which had the 5 points if you count the head turning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, you're turning backwards, so, you know, it's good to make them dead, I guess. but,
that's,
like...
That's funny.
As a thing, not anything else really got to that point. I mean, I guess the Lone Ranger action figures, when they happened, they had, I want to say, because it's double the knees bent, because you can make him ride a horse. I don't think their elbows bent, though, so they're still behind G.I. Joe.
I always thought points of articulation were a real hallmark of a good figure. I played with mine. I mean, I didn't quite learn you kept them in the box to make the money till later. So I did set up the battles I used to read in comic books amongst everything I had as far as action figures go.
Well, as a youthful person, as a kid, I mean, yeah, I was of the same park, too. I mean, now as an adult, I don't know. They're still semi-open because they're awesome. But as a thing, generally speaking, yeah, all my figures kind of play together. Like, Star Wars ran into G.I. Joe, ran into He-Man, which was weird because the He-Mans weren't the same size. But, you know, in the heat of battle, it all worked out.
Yeah, I mean, you'd use replacements. Like, you might be staging an X-Men battle. I remember doing the Phalanx Covenant with, like, two or three Phalanx action figures and quite a few X-Men action figures. But then you'd, like, you know, you'd pepper in, like, somebody from the Avengers and then a G.I. Joe and then, like, an old He-Man. Like, Battle Cat would be in there because he was green and orange because, yeah, you know, I mean, you could use that in your... scenario fantasies about your action figures. Right? You tie something to them, like, do the whole thing, see if they parachuted off. Like, that was good. Those were good times, man. Those were great times. Really loved those
times. Yeah, man. Do you remember the, so there's another series of figures. It was called the Sectars. And Sectars had a cartoon that got one season. Maybe only the first, I don't know, like 5 or 6 episodes ever got aired anywhere, really. They were bug people from a future, a dystopian future, where man and bug had grown together after nuclear holocaust, I'm pretty sure was the truth. And our main characters are like bug men that rode giant other bugs, so like dragonflies that were giants and spiders or whatever. If you're a good guy, bad guy, determined what vehicle you flew away was a... You know, whether it was a bug or whether it was like a pretty bug, like a dragonfly, or like a gross bug, like a, I don't know, a spider or a cricket or something.
Were there overtures to the idea that man and bug had mated in this dystopian post-apocalyptic future where, you know, you're selling breakfast cereal with marshmallow bits in it to the kids?
I mean, if it got that far, it would have been fantastic.
Sectar.
I think the truth was it was a science experiment. 'Cause I remember in the intro of the cartoon... a science lab with bugs in it exploding, and then there being, like, some people there, too. So I don't think there's ever, like, a mating thing going on. Not that I remember or realized as a child.
You know, Steve, real talk here. I've seen The Fly, and I already don't like the idea of this cartoon whatsoever. But there was a time when if you had a mold, and you had some plastic to fill this mold, and you had a TV show, you could be making a lot of money. With a lot of cheap shill sent and sold to many unassuming teenagers and tweens throughout the decades of the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, man.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, even today, that's still a thing. The coolest thing about the Sectars, though, is that if you got the right, like, vehicle, you put they had, like, a hand puppet bottom. So say you're using a spider or you're using a dragonfly, the bottom of it was a glove. And so you put your hand in the glove to become the legs of the fly while you flew it around. It was awesome. They were super expensive, which is why they went along the wayside to everything else, because they were
right.
terribly expensive compared to everything else.
You had to be affordable, man. That was the magic zone. Affordability, fun, marketability. You had to have all that. And, of course, you could expand on something like that. And you saw it with the big ones, with Castle Grayskull. If you ever bought the actual Castle Grayskull playset, you were the person hosting all the birthday parties on the block, bud.
That is definitely true. I did go to some of those birthday parties.
Right. I mean, we have a man here who can vouch. I remember toting suitcases full of action figures to friends' house so we could stage our favorite battles, man. That's when life was simple, man. Life was good.
The hallmark of the era, man.
Yeah. Now we just do heavy sighs and we talk about it bitterly on a podcast, huh? Woo! Yeah,
it's true, I guess. It's true.
Not so much bitterness, just a little. just a little taste in the back of your mouth, brother. Yeah. No, you're right about today, dude. You're right about today. Because they still, I mean, Marvel, I mean, they're the best example, but they churn it out, man. I appreciated the Hulk hands. I thought the Hulk hands was just a nice touch.
Oh, sure.
You remember the Hulk hands?
Hulk hands, the Thanos glove, the Iron Man glove.
I was at the Mesa County Comic Con at the library when it was going on 2 years ago, 2019. You were there. We talked.
Uh-huh.
I actually got to hold somebody's giant Thanos glove.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he really missed out as a proctologist, I guess, man.
Oh, man. It's the wrong size for any of that.
Oh, geez, right? Space proctology. I would need an Infinity Gauntlet to get through that day, you know?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. Like, time stone erased my memory of what I just saw. That would be the Marvel short I would watch. Thanos, Dr. Thanos. Thanos is his last name. Does he have a surname?
Yeah, yeah. I think it would work perfect. Dr. Thanos makes perfect sense.
Dr. Thanos, proctologist at large.
Oh, man.
Oh, somebody should pay me for these ideas. I hope Fai's listening. I hope Kev, big K, as I like to call him. Me and him, we're tight. Me and Big Kev, we're hope he's listening and writing it down. Write this down, Kevin. Write this down.
I mean, nothing else is short, right?
Right.
Yeah. What else is Roland doing right now? I'm going to say nothing.
Yeah, I mean, watch a 7-minute Dr. Thanos cartoon. Dr. Thanos, proctologist at large. It's almost like a Dr. Quinn medicine woman thing, but like with a galactic twist.
I mean, he could be servicing, like, I don't know, all the Jungle Kingdom, giant animals, elephants. You know, makes perfect sense.
You know, and that's really where he started to hate existence. That's really where he starts to worship death, right? He does that a little bit too much, and then, you know, I mean, slowly the resentment sinks in.
He'll break anybody.
Yeah. I've never been a proctologist, so yeah. I'm gonna go with that. I'm rolling with that, man.
I mean, it makes sense to me.
It does.
It really does.
It really does. And he's got his two daughters, Gamora, Nebula, working like the front reception, working reception and records.
Man, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
The whole family business, man.
Oh, you gotta have it. Keep it in the family, man. Keep it in the family. That's definitely good.
Oh,
it's,
man.
It's about
Ebony Maw is the guy that does your intern paperwork.
Oh, no.
When you show up to get things filled out, it's Ebony Maw. So creepy.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Man, he's like, have you filled out the forms yet? I'm like, hey, you creep me out, bro.
Yeah, right? You're not going to be the one doing it, right? No, no, this is our doctor, Dr. Thanos. And this big purpley dude with, like, gold gloves comes out. He's got shiny rocks on the gloves. And you're like, oh.
Yeah, maybe this is a bad choice today.
Right? Huh. Thorough like a, yeah, this podcast is thorough like a colonoscopy, but gentle like a warm breeze.
Oh, man.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. That's right. That's why we do this. That's why we do this. It's Magic 93.1's Men Who Look Bad and Spandex. We're on episode 10. This is our 10th episode, brother.
Yeah.
Hey, that's fantastic. Progress. That is progress, man. That's fantastic. We got progress in the comic world. Black Superman is going to be a thing. Who's your number one casting choice for Black Superman?
Oh,
take it away. Black Superman. Who's your guy? Who's your Black Superman?
Man, if we're talking before Hobbs and Shaw, Fast and the Furious, I would say Idris Elba. or Idris Elba. Elba, that's how you say it.
Yeah.
Because the dude is fantastic. And, like, if you talk about poise and just delivery, he is a fantastic actor. And, like, if he's not going to be James Bond, then I say make him Superman. But now that line is in that movie, it's almost too on the nose to do it. So that would make it a little weird, maybe. I mean, I know there's a lot of pull in the world currently for Michael B. Jordan. And, I mean, Chris Evans was Human Torch. He was Human Torch. Chris Evans is a great Captain America, so maybe he could be a great Superman. I mean, he was also Killmonger in there, so that makes it a little rougher. But he was a bad guy in, you know, different franchise, so I guess that'd be all right. You know?
I understand. I think those are fantastic. You know what I think is even more funny, Steve, at this point in time? You watching Hobbs and Shaw?
Movies. It's superhero awesome, bro.
Okay.
Superhero awesome.
I mean, The Rock is kind of like a real-life superhero, and he's also playing Black Adam, if you're into superhero movies, which apparently just got started shooting, like a month ago, two?
I think, yeah, within the last month.
Right?
That's actual footage. Like, there's been a bunch of animatic things done. But outside the animatics, which, I mean, whether you use any of that stuff or not, it will come down to post, probably. But, yeah, as far as, like, actual filming actors, I feel like it's been just under a month, maybe. It might be longer than that, I guess. It's been fairly recent.
It sure has. And after such gaslighting from WB, oh, my gosh, just letting us know, just tidbits here, tidbits there. Ooh. And then finally they let us know that it will be a thing. I did like Marvel's sizzle reel where they announced everything. We were talking about this last episode. It was a good idea. I think maybe Warner could steal that from them.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah. As far as the setup, that particular trailer is, or not even, yeah, teaser reel is just fantastic.
It is. Yeah, it brings you right back into it, man. It sucks you right in. They're so good at that. Dang it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fantastic. Like, all the different... Just the voiceover in general from Stan at the beginning, and like, we were talking about this just the other night with another batch of guys. When you're watching that opening, they play video from somebody recording in the theater with when the hammer comes to Chris and you hear the crowd cheer, and I'm like, that's what the world misses right now. That.
Ooh, that was a moment, man.
Response.
That was
That
was a moment. I might have, if I recall correctly, I might have cursed very loudly. I believe I was at the picture show. I believe it was at the picture show here in Grand Junction. I might have cursed rather loudly. I mean, like, I knew what was happening. Like, I've been waiting for that moment since Ultron. And then it happened. Yeah. So, like, I saw it just start to move. And then I basically pooped the bed and went crazy in my seat. And everybody else joined me a few seconds later. It was good. It was good.
Fantastic moment, man.
It was probably the culmination of a lot of things, although it wasn't exactly, I don't know, logical whatsoever. I mean
as far as being able to wield the hammer, if Captain America is not worthy, then I don't know how Thor is.
Well, you know, it comes back to him. He just like reaches his hand out and it comes back to him, and it's like, yeah. Okay. It makes you wonder about Odin's magic. There's some gaps there in the Asgardian magic. That's for sure. That's for darn sure.
As far as things, it's more of a... If it's all a matter of believing yourself, and it's a whether to believe that you're worthy, and then that makes it kind of a little willy-nilly as far as that goes. You have the right crazy person in there, and they're just swinging around with no problem at all.
That is a dark theory, my friend.
I mean, I would like to think there's more to it, but I mean, it is magic, so I mean, magic tends to do what magic wants to do, so...
Were you crushing like a bag of Funyuns on like the third rewatch, and is that when that thought popped in your head, brother?
I'm not really sure when I ever thought that. Probably the truth is, after we get the reveal from, Original Sin, once we finally learn what Nick Fury said to Thor to break him, is when I thought that. Because it's the reverse of that, why Thor couldn't pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's probably when I thought it. I'm like, if you're just crazy enough and just fully believe what you're doing is totally right, then it would be fine. That's a little weird.
I'm giving you, you can't see it, I'm giving you one of those you're not wrong faces. Definitely not wrong. But if you go down the laundry list of people who have held Thor's hammer, it would probably surprise you about how many actual people have held it, whether you're talking worthiness or not.
No, I mean, there's a handful. And then there's some that cheated. I mean, the Red Hulk reached underneath it and grabbed the ground and threw it by using the ground. I mean, that technically was cheating. So, does it count as a wield? I'm going to say no. But yeah, it is not like the smallest wheelhouse, but it's not huge either.
I love it. And that's what I love. And you made a great point. Magic is whatever it wants to be whenever it wants to be it. Really, in both universes, or really any comic book you ever talk to. I mean, it's like trying to make up rules for time travel. You do what you want and own it.
As long as the rules stay the same, then it's fine.
Yeah.
Don't break your own rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. My pivot point with Marvel.
Yeah.
Don't break your own rules with your time travel rules.
We'll see. Okay. That's fine. All right. Moving on. My friend,
do you have anybody for Superman cast?
Michael B. Jordan, right away. Michael B. Jordan.
Okay.
My Black Superman is Michael B. Jordan. I like everything Michael does. Yeah, I just watched that Without Remorse movie on Amazon Prime, which was good.
Oh, yeah, the new one. Okay.
I recommend it if you like a good action flick, some like, you know, kind of modern day action. It's pretty slick. Kind of gives you a sense of military in the modern age, and he's good. He's very good. Based off a Tom Clancy book, which is pretty far away from comics, but still definitely in the hero idea, the hero vein.
Sure.
Yeah. But he's a great actor. I thought he was good in Creed. His turn as Killmonger was a highlight of the MCU. If you've ever seen Fruitvale Station, you'll be blown away by his performance there. It is something I think that he could pull off easily. Plus, the dude is super ripped, man.
I mean, that's definitely a bonus. Like, he's... He's built for the part. That is true.
He kind of looks like Calvin. What's Calvin?
Oh gosh, Earth 28 Superman. Yeah. Calvin. Oh gosh.
He's also the president.
Oh, he's President Superman. That's
president
true.
Superman. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Earth 28's got a bunch of different rules. What is his last name?
One of my
I think it's Calvin Kent.
I think so too. One of my favorite appearances of his is during Superman's run in the Ultima Thule during Final Crisis. He gathers all the army of Supermen. I thought that was an absolutely fantastic touch, and he was one of the big generals. That was good. One of my favorite appearances, indeed. He first came out, was it Morrison who first invented him? I'm not quite sure who came up with Black Superman.
You know, my brain doesn't know that. You think I would, but I don't. I'm not sure who did him first. Because he's not been around, like, super, super long, but he's not really new either. I mean, I don't know who made him up, actually. I mean, Grant Morrison makes sense.
I believe it might have been in Final Crisis. I'm not sure.
I'm going to say that's the first time I remember seeing him.
Yeah.
If it was, it was Grant, because Grant's the one that wrote Final Crisis.
Right.
But you know what? It's Calvin Ellis. That's what his name is. It's Ellis.
Nice.
It's Ellis.
Yeah, I believe his AI is like Brainiac.
It is.
Yeah, and he like runs the country with Brainiac by his side as the super president man.
Sounds like a bad idea, but that particular Earth, it worked just fine.
sounds like a bad idea. That's the start
of robot power, man. Like, I mean, Skynet's a thing, right?
That's the start of such a great comic book trope, though. Absolutely wonderful one. I mean, just spectacular stuff. It reminds me of Red Sun, Superman Red Sun by Mark Millar, Elseworld stuff. That was...
fantastic.
That took a turn. That took a turn. I love Russian Batman. Russian Batman is one of my favorite Batman, just to throw it off there.
He is one of my favorite. I think the most art I've had from any of my artist friends done has been of Russian Batman. He's my favorite. Batman, the best.
Oh, man, he's a nutter, and it's fun. That's for sure, man. That's definitely for sure. Steve, my friend, Invincible is a hot property right now, not only on the streaming sector of the comic book world, but the paperback part of it, too. Like, Robert Kirkman really tapped into something here, man. And have you seen the demand for Invincible? What do you recommend about the book? Because it's just now getting into my periphery, man.
Well, as far as the series, I mean, it ran quite a long time. I mean, it was 148 issues, if I remember right. And it was running alongside Walking Dead. So you had Walking Dead doing its own thing, and then you had Invincible, which was his superhero book. And as far as, like, series is, of course, The Walking Dead caught first and went wildfire, so totally different kind of thing going on there. But as far as Invincible, I mean, yeah, it was his superhero book. And as far as stories, I mean, if you watch the series, which the first season is fantastic, it does burn through storyline pretty quick in the show, but I think you kind of have to in order to hook people. So the book had a little slower burn on some things, as far as the story is concerned. But as far as, like, storytelling, there's so many awesome battles and so many, like, betrayals and turns of character. And, like, when you talk about art on it, I mean, the beginning of it was Corey Smith. I want to say he did maybe the first, oh, God, maybe the first five, or maybe he might have done the first 10 issues, I guess. I don't really remember when Ryan Otley took over. But Ryan Otley took over after Corey Smith, and then Ryan drew the rest of the book. And when it comes to, like, battles and just dudes getting knocked the crap out of, Otley is hands down one of the best, like, brutal fight drawers out there. Like, the dude is amazing. He has since moved over to Spider-Man, so he is currently in the Marvel house drawing stuff. But yeah, like, as a thing, just the twists and turns in the story and, like, how far it goes, because we move forward in time a little bit, and revelations that are still to come for the show. But, I mean, they said they're giving it two more seasons, so as a thing, I can't imagine it slowing down, especially if you look at the Dead, the amount of stuff it's done. I can't see Invincible having any shorter run, really. Which also is something really cool. Oh, see, this is a side to that. So Image is going to be putting out, well, particularly Image Skybound. So Robert Kirkman's his own imprint over at Image has his own namesake. So, like, back in the old days with Vertigo, right?
Yes,
Skybound,
right,
is putting out a series called Skybound X.
Mm-hmm.
And Skybound X is going to run, at least at the beginning, we have five issues, and it's going to be once a week. And what they're doing it is it's an anthology series of stories. So we're getting some return to older characters we haven't seen in a while, and they're getting a batch of stories that are featuring brand new characters added to them. So, like, let me veer away for 1 second, because it's coming back to Invincible as well. But in the first issue, we're going to get a short story dealing with a character named Clementine, who is a fan favorite from the Walking Dead Telltale Heart video game, who has never been in the comic books before, and she is going to be making her debut in the issue one of Skybound X, along with a story titled Rick Grimes 2000. I don't exactly know what that means, but the cover makes it look like he's holding a lightsaber, so I don't really know what to think of that.
Wow.
Awesome. Yeah, it's crazy.
So Kirkman is really kind of exploring his comic roots, kind of getting back to it, huh?
I mean, a little bit, yeah. Like, the books have a bunch of different writers on them. So, like, issue-wise, we're getting Robert Kirkman, Chip Zdarsky, Joshua Williamson. So, like, all the different stories in there. Like, in Skybound, there's a whole bunch of different books, and Kirkman's only really responsible for writing about four of them. There's other books written by other authors that are underneath his same imprint. So all these stories aren't just Kirkman stories. So we're getting a batch of the other writers that did their own thing. But as far as the book's concerned, the way the stories jump between A and B and C is a way to give you, like, a broad catch of a bunch of different stories and from a bunch of different people, in case you never tried, I don't know, Birthright or a book called Ultra Mega. These books will have pieces of those inside them to sort of showcase parts of that. Bring it back to Invincible a little bit. Issue 3 is going to have a science dog storyline in it,
woo,
which is fantastic.
Science dog?
Yes.
So he's like, that's his superhero name, Science Dog?
That is his superhero, super character name, yeah.
I'm with that.
Science Dog's fantastic. He's only really ever had a couple individual comics of his own.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, as a thing, it's funny because Science Dog kind of connects to The Walking Dead also, because in The Walking Dead universe, one of Carl's favorite comic books is Science Dog. Even so much, he's wearing the T-shirt during most of season one and in the comic books, probably for the first, I don't know, like 14 issues he's got it on. I guess I don't know how long he wore it. Don't quote me on the comic book issues. I don't remember how long he wore it, but he did wear it in the comics and in the TV show, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that is. That kind of almost feels like he's laying the ground for a shared universe, Steve?
I mean, it's very possible. I mean, a lot of these characters and a lot of the storylines are so vastly different that I don't think all of them can exist in one universe, really. I mean, The Walking Dead would be the hardest one, really, because the whole world's gone completely zombie. So the idea that there's a Superman or a, I guess, Invincible or an Omni-Man running around during that is a little hard to make work. But as far as, like, a shared thing, a few of these books would work together okay. I mean, I could see Invincible working alongside of Birthright, working alongside of maybe Ultra Mega, maybe. It's a kaiju robot monster book. So
yeah.
So some of them could play together pretty well, but like this seems to be more like a smorgasbord of different storylines that if you're into Skybound stuff, maybe you haven't read it, and this will give you a piece of it. And it's all new material, so it's not like reprinted stuff. It's original new short stories of some properties that have been done for a minute. I mean, Invincible's comics ended, I want to say, maybe 5 years ago for the comic book release. Walking Dead within the last 3 years as the comics. So, like, with that in mind, I mean, it is a return to a batch of properties we haven't seen in a while, as far as new material, at least.
Which is it's awesome. I think revisiting some of your favorite characters is never a bad idea, and with Kirkman being who he is in the comic book world and also, by proxy, the entertainment media world, I don't think that's a bad thing for anybody, my friend. Before we wrap it up, sir, as we like to do it, tell us what's new, what's hot, what's on the shelf at Top 5 Comics in Hillcrest Plaza right off First and Orchard, where you guys got to get all your comics, my friend. Where and what are we picking up this week, my friend?
Well, let's see. So this coming week, we're going to have Joker number 3, written by James Tynion IV. It is fantastic so far if you're a Joker fan. Art's great. Story's been really interesting. Tynion's he's an acolyte of Scott Snyder, so as far as stories are concerned, he's a good writer. He's been writing Batman as well, but his issue 3 of Joker's coming out this week. We also have issue 3 just dropped this current week for Noctera, which is fantastic, written by Scott Snyder, to stay in the same wheelhouse, I guess. Art is by Tony Daniels. Book sci-fi awesome. Like, it's so good.
I read the first issue on your recommendation, Steve. Yeah, I can vouch. It looks great. Great premise. Interesting stuff. Snyder's pacing. I think it's its greatest strength. He's on point with it again.
Heck yeah. And Marvel-wise, we just had Heroes Reborn number 1 come out. Number 2 is coming out next week, so it's a very fast-paced release. Story-wise, it's going to be 7 issues by the time it's over. There's a handful of tie-in issues, so depending on what you like flavor-wise, it will determine whether you should really read the tie-ins or not. But as far as the core story, first issue is Jason Aaron writing it, Ed McGuinness drawing it. It's awesome. For a broken world, we have a world where the Avengers never happened, and as a result, the Squadron Supreme has basically replaced them as the Justice League of Marvel, because that's basically what they are. And there's only one person that seems to remember the world's broken, and while there's a lot of things he thinks are better about this world, he knows it's wrong, and that would be Blade the Vampire Hunter. And he is awesome.
Oh, that was a tease and a half, brother. I was just excited, man. You had me going, dude. I got the goose pimples. That's awesome. Get them all. Get everything comics wise at Top 5 Comics at First and Orchard in the Hillcrest Plaza, right above Cameo Hairstyling Salon. Just go up the stairs, knock, or just go in and see what heaven looks like. Steve, man, it is always a pleasure, brother. It's always good to talk and chit-chat about the craft, the trade, the fun, and everything, my friend. I hope you have a wonderful evening, sir.
You too, sir. Take it easy, buddy.